as I head back in my pocket. If you can make sure that's on silent, please.
No, I'm sorry to get everyone's hopes up, step out of the stand, but and many times I think that probably would have been the best route to take is to just say nothing. But I do have a few thoughts on my mind. I want to start in that 14th chapter book of Acts where I ended up where I was last Sunday, but and then spring off of that on something really throughout all these chapters of the book of Acts where I tried to cover a lot of the early church and the ministers, apostles that were preaching and traveling and as they established churches. But throughout this, ended up with really one subject or thought on my mind. And but in that 14th chapter of Acts, where Paul in this in the 19th verse, where the Jews came down from Antioch and Iconium, where he had preached previously, they'd run him out of town, told him to leave, and all. And so they came down to where he was here, and they stoned him, and supposing he had been dead. That's in the 19th verse. So they thought he was dead. Then the disciples stood round about him. He rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. So they left there, supposing he had been dead. So they thought they had stoned him to death. And Brother Jeff last Sunday brought something to mind. It's not written here, but it makes sense. It doesn't change anything, but I thought it was an interesting thought. And so I'll share that with what Brother Jeff shared with me last Sunday, is that it says, if we continue on, as I made a point last Sunday, that they ended up going back up to Iconium and Antioch there in Turkey, and preaching all around that area, and then coming back down to the coast, and then sailing back over to his homeland, and ended up his home church. But he went back up there, but most likely, again, it doesn't say. I don't know if it's written in any Jewish history or not, but chances are, once they had stoned him and thought left him for dead, then what other reason would they have had to stay there? So they most likely went back up to their home in Antioch and Iconium and all. And so then when Paul shows up again up there to preach, imagine the reaction of those and the others if they'd gone back and told, hey, we took care of our problem. Paul's gone. We left him for dead, and they thought he was dead. And here he is. He comes back up and preaches up there. So I think again, and throughout all of this, in the witnessing that people saw, God through His providence had in His mind, in His purpose, what would be witnessed by those around them. Again, I think of when James was put to death, and then Peter was grabbed and put into prison because it looked good for Herod. So he's in prison. Well, then he was released from prison by God, and that angel came to him. And so certain people, they saw all this stuff. They told of these things. Some of it's written here in God's Word. So we go, they left him supposing he had been dead there. And then in the 21st verse, and when they had preached the gospel to that city of Derbe, I made this point, and I'll say this and then move on, of all the things that I may think are a distraction from my preaching or studying or caring for God's people, Paul was stoned to death. Rocks were hurled at him until they thought he was dead, and then he went and preached the gospel again. Yeah, I mentioned this word, the word focus, but he was focused and determined to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yet he had persecuted the church And yet God was blessing him now after calling him to preach the gospel, and which he did, and established these churches around that area. And so through this, and the word that even came to mind last Sunday and throughout the last month or so on my mind, and knowing what so many people are going through here, even just simply if we limit it to this church body, to this congregation, is the word struggle. And struggling. There's just so much struggling, and yet we see that here. You talk about struggling. Paul, the apostle, was stoned here as if they thought he were dead. James was killed. Peter was imprisoned, and Paul was also scourged. Many things that the physical things that Paul was not saved from here because he did not die. Had he died, his soul and spirit had been in heaven, and he wouldn't have suffered all the other things, but yet he wouldn't have been used by God in the church and for God's children, for the Gentiles, for the Jews. And so God had a purpose for him here, and yet he struggled, and they struggled. Think of, and you can go back and kind of review in your mind all of these things that took place and the struggling there. And so I think about us struggling on our pilgrimage here. We're sojourning. This is not our home. It's just a pilgrimage. We're pilgrims traveling and sojourning here. It's temporary. And yet we struggle the whole time. And we're distracted. And it would be maybe it would be better if we were sojourning, traveling, waiting to go to our home in heaven, and we didn't have Satan, the devil, throwing stuff at us all the time. Just think how much better life would be. But yet, and he appeals to our sinful nature. We're not innocent in that. We've been made righteous through Jesus Christ and His blood, but we still have our sin, and so we suffer these things. And so Satan has something to appeal to us with and to distract us from serving God. Jesus Christ is victorious. That victory is won, and it's done, and God's purpose will stand. That it shall stand. That's a hard shall there. And so it will stand. But we're traveling here. We have to get through this life. And while we're doing that, glorify Him. That's our purpose in life. It certainly was the Apostle Paul's and the Apostle Peter and Barnabas and all, and establishing these churches and all. It would have been easier had they just let that go. Well, we know that Jesus Christ died, gave up His life, was buried, and was resurrected. But let's just go on with our lives. It'll be easier. Stephen could have done that. As he was preaching, he could have just walked away there and lived I don't know how many more years. But he preached the gospel, and the good part of that is immediately he was with Jesus Christ, His Redeemer. I long for that. We long for that. I hear songs on the radio, and then we sing songs, and we talk, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Jeff even uttered the phrase, that, Lord Jesus, come quickly, last Sunday. Come quickly. I long for that. And yet, even in saying that, there are things that I want to experience in life, things that I want to enjoy, but we have no idea the lack of comparison in the difference in those, and being with Him and the things we enjoy here. We have an idea, we really do, the struggle that takes place in our lives overall, then we can narrow it down with the struggling we have as we struggle and become oppressed with the things that happen in our lives, that happen to the people around us and all, and that we don't understand. And yet I know that His thoughts are so far above my thoughts, I can't even question why. And I know that God does not cause so many things to happen, but I think, well, but He allows that, and I certainly I acknowledge His power to avert things that happen here. I believe that's happened in all of our lives. We've been saved here by many things. and others that we would still have with us. Recently we've talked about our mortality and it's come up and all. And I wish that I could choose that. Okay, I want to live until this point, and then that's it. I want to go home to be with Jesus Christ. But we don't do that. It doesn't work that way. And we can't do that for our loved ones either. But while we are here, we're to glorify God. And yet there are those that would question, why am I still here? That they see no purpose in their life. But there is one, whatever that may be. Maybe I can't even see it, but God knows, or else He would call you home at that moment, then that your purpose and your calling here was done. And yet we're still suffering here. We're still struggling here. Now, if I go back, I want to go all the way back to the 25th chapter of Genesis, 25th chapter. The only place that any form of the word struggle is used in the entire Bible is right here in this 22nd verse. The word struggled. And the children struggled together with her, within her, and she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said unto her, "Two nations are in thy womb. Two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. The one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." And we know what this is, where this leads, of course. But these two children struggled together within her. Now, the same word, Greek, Hebrew, is used in other places there. But that word, English word struggled, it's the only place you'll find in your concordance where that's used. And of course, it means to bruise and to discourage, to oppress and to break. And I think when I'm struggling with something, I bring it down to myself, struggling my mind overflows with the things that we all struggle with in our lives. Part of the definition of that word struggle is to break in pieces. It's a severe, intense word here. And we feel that just broken in pieces when we're struggling and striving in whatever we may be doing. Let me move forward. Let me go to Isaiah the 42nd chapter, Isaiah 42. Isaiah chapter 42, speaking of God's servant, of Jesus Christ, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street." Third verse says, "A bruised reed shall not break, shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law." Now, the word bruised in the third verse and discouraged in the fourth verse, that's the same word struggled, as I read in Genesis chapter 25, the 22nd verse. He shall not fail nor be discouraged. And again, I'm thankful. And I know of a certainty as I am struggling, as I am experiencing tribulations and trials throughout my life, no matter how they may measure up or down with someone else's struggles, that I know for of a certainty that Jesus Christ was victorious on the cross, that God in Himself was victorious and in that accepting that sacrifice of His Son, His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And so I have that to stand upon. But I can confess to you, as I believe I have in the past, that doesn't always get me through something that I'm experiencing right then. It's hard. It's hard. And whether it's with myself or with someone else, guiding them, helping them through something, I don't have an answer to it, and I wish I did. But we know that Jesus Christ, He was not broken. He was not broken in pieces. Not one bone was broken. We see that so Scripture would be fulfilled here. Now, let me one page over here in the 43rd chapter. More relates to us here. 43rd chapter of Isaiah. Let me just go ahead and start with the first verse there. But now thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. That's reassuring right there, that we are God's. And I've said many times, worded maybe poorly, but the value that I place upon each of you, each of us really, is the fact that you've been purchased by Jesus Christ, by the blood of Christ, but by Jesus Christ Himself. That places a great value upon you in the eyes and the mind of God Almighty. And yet we feel so many times worthless and useless, and that I don't have a purpose in life. So why am I still here? And yet He says, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. You know, and I read that, and I think, well, I've walked through some stuff, and I felt like certainly at the time that I've been overwhelmed, I've been drowning in that water, I've been burned by those flames, and yet when I look back then, God somehow gives me the unction to honor Him and glorify Him through that, but yet, the whole time, remember, even as Satan was there pummeling the apostles with and using his wiles upon them, then he's still doing that today. And in fact, God foresaw that it would wax worse and worse. And so it should be no surprise today to us. And yet something that doesn't change is God Almighty. God Himself doesn't change, nor His love for us. So He will be with us. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. So since thou wast precious in my sight, precious in the sight of God, because we were saved not with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That's where we were bought with that, and we should not make light of it. We should put as much importance in that as anything in our lives. And then that God would have grace and mercy upon a people, a remnant, to show them because if I had to go tomorrow, wake up tomorrow and think, well, not only do I have to try to struggle through whatever I'm struggling with now, and help others struggling around me, but I also have to save myself eternally, that would be unbearable. And yet we don't have to go through our lives, our pilgrimage, with that weight upon us. Yes, we take up our cross and bear it, not the cross of Christ. He bore that cross, and that's done. He did that once there on the tree of the cross there. He bore our sins, took them upon Him. Now, going back to the New Testament, I want to go to John, Gospel of John, the 16th chapter. You may know where I'm going. I want to get the last verse in that chapter. Jesus Christ says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world, ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He spoke these things to them that in him they may have peace. The apostles, the disciples, they didn't always have peace in this life, but in him. And as soon as I lay something upon him, that we're to cast all of our cares upon him, so many times I've been saved, and yet still I wonder. In my human nature, one of my first thoughts of entering into heaven's world is to know the answers to those things. And yet we won't be concerned with that. That wouldn't be heaven. If we all of a sudden, well, I want to know the answer to this, this, and this, we'll know as we are known. And yet it won't matter to us. We will be in the presence of God himself in that great throne room. I don't know. We don't know much about heaven. If someone tries to start telling you the minute details of what heaven will be like, well, be wary of that because they don't know either. Certainly no one knows when Jesus Christ will come again. And no matter how much I want him to come right now, he will come when God knows, when it's time to send him to gather his jewels and carry them home. So in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We do have something to be happy about. That song, and we don't typically sing "I'll Fly Away" as the last song before preaching, but that isn't that what we have our sights set on? Is when we fly away, when our soul and spirit is separated from in death from this vile body, and that it's wafted into heaven, and even better yet, when our soul and spirit and body at one time, Jesus Christ comes again, and we hear our name called in the air, and we go to him, and forever we're with the Lord. And so that's what we love. We're to be of good cheer. Even Jesus Christ, the great preacher, said that. We're not to be sad all the time, and I believe I commend this church. Paul could commend churches that he visited and established there. I commend this church for having the happiness and the joy in Christ Jesus, that in me ye might have peace. It's in him only. If it's not in him, then if I try to grab something else to cause to have peace in my life, then I'll fail, and I've done that. I know that for a fact, these things he spoke to them, and yet they still failed. They failed even at that mock trial of Jesus when Peter denied him and what took place there. But we have hope in that God was still with him in his ministry and the Apostle Paul there. Now in Colossians, the first chapter of Colossians. Get back to it. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 9 begins sentence here, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." There's peace in that. There's so much peace in that in our lives here. "That ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering, and with joyfulness." And then it says, "giving thanks unto the Father." This one sentence is about 9 verses long here. I won't read that whole sentence there, but I'll stop there. "Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power." I've said before, and yet I failed this morning, I'm sure, in recognizing, acknowledging the fact that my salvation here, my peace, being victorious over and within my struggling comes directly from the power of a mighty God. That's where I go. And yet, as I'm praying, I will question whether or not that that my prayer will be answered in solving whatever I'm going through. And yet, I don't question His power. In fact, when I question it, it's usually that I'm acknowledging His power. But then there's a but there. But usually it's that I know I don't deserve that. I deserve so much worse in the things that many ministers are going through today and being drawn away from the church. And not just ministers, of course, I realize. But that's Satan drawing them away. If it weren't for the mighty power of God, there I would be as well. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. That's how I want to live my pilgrimage. And whatever my calling may be, is to walk worthy and being fruitful in every good work, knowing that He was victorious, that Jesus Christ was, and saved us on the cross, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We stand upon that 14th verse there, that we have redemption and forgiveness of sins in Him. Now, going back to Acts, but later in that book, the 27th chapter, another experience later on here that's written of here of Paul when he was being taken to Rome, to Italy, Acts 27, Paul, he's being put on a ship to be taken to be imprisoned in Rome. And in the 10th verse, he warns them that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. So Paul tried to warn them because he knew that there would be damage there, and even in affecting people's lives. And then nevertheless, the 11th verse starts out, nevertheless, ensuring you believe the master. And so they take off, they sail, 13th verse, they sail close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. They just let it go. So we're just going to let it go. And yet they're probably thinking at the time, well, this guy that we're taking, he was right. He warned us. He perceived that this would happen. When they had taken up... I'm trying not to read all this. In 16th verse, where I am, the running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, and we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, straight sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And on third day, we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. Neither sun nor stars in many days appeared. No small tempest lay upon us. No small tempest. This opposite lay on us. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. They had no hope of even being saved here physically. They thought they were going to die in this ship here. But after long abstinence, Paul had been quiet for a while there. He stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me." So he told, I told you so. He said that. I guess I could use that verse 21 as scripture. I can say I told you so, and I'm right about something. It happened so little. But he said, in the midst of them, said, "Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss." And now I exhort you, I encourage you. He's going to encourage them here, give them some good news. I exhort you to be of good cheer. Use the words of Christ here, be of good cheer. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. So no life will be lost, but the ship's a goner. But your lives are going to be saved. So he knew that. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am. The angel of God, whose I am. So he's talking about God. So in all this tempest and the waves being tossed about and all, and an angel of God, and he said, whose I am. He put that those few little words in there. He knew, and he told them, he knew that he was God's. Don't try to suffer these things and struggle through these things not thinking that you are God's. He called you. He knows your name. He created you. And he sent his son to die for you. He's not going to just leave you here alone. It may seem like it, and it has for me. And it's not. This isn't just an age thing. I know some that are older now, much older than me, that are suffering. But I can remember times when I was a young child and I had troubles whether it's bullying, whatever it is, God Almighty is still the same unchanging God even then. And he is watching over them. And yet things still happen in life, I know. Even though I was told homeschool kids are much better than those out in the world in public schools. But yeah, see, I see nodding there. And I went to a public school. But I know that there's suffering even then. It's hard to stay strong. And yet I commend you all in this church for raising a family in a godly way. But in him we have peace, not in ourselves. We draw upon him. And we see the fruit of that. These three young leaders up here this morning that were leading singing, whether someone's a member of the church who has joined the church and gone through baptism and all, they are not the church of the future. They're here today. They are a part of this church today, and they give us a hope. They exhort us in their actions. They exhort us, we're to be of good cheer, and think of the time that we will fly away and be with Jesus Christ himself, and no more have these struggles, but we're still struggling now. And I empathize and sympathize with those that are struggling, but don't cease in praying. We continue to pray for one another. So God, whose I am and whom I serve, wherefore, 25th verse, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. I believe God. He chose who you're going to believe here. I believe God is who I believe. I was told that no life would be lost, and he was standing upon that. And then he was telling them that. He could have continued in his long abstinence from that 21st verse. He could have said nothing and then seen for himself privately that no life was taken, because he knew it wouldn't, because he believed God that they wouldn't be taken. But he told them then that no life would be taken. Be of good cheer, so he told we it's important that we see one another's experiences and how we all survive these things as we go through life. And I visited with many of you on things that's happened in your lives, and then I feel guilty even questioning some little trial that I might be going through. It's sojourning, and then we need to make it to tomorrow and the next day. But being fruitful in what he's called us to do, because we're one of his, whose I am. Now in 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter, 2 Corinthians, go the right way here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. There's that point again. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. That's our life. That's our pilgrimage. But in Him we have peace. And if in this life only we had we believed in Christ, we'd be all men most miserable. We believe in Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, and so we cast our cares upon Him. But then He blesses us to make it through these struggles, the struggling that we have, whatever it may be. Let me go to the 7th chapter and try to wrap this up. 7th chapter of 2 Corinthians. The 6th verse, let me just get this and close. Nevertheless, God, that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Certainly it's God that comforts us. Certainly, that still small voice, when everything around us is as if we're on that ship, just being tossed about, not knowing, as Paul did with a certainty, that no life would be lost there, but comforteth those that are cast down by the coming of Titus. So we are with one another. I missed the last several weeks, a month or so. Different ones for different various reasons have had to be gone, and all, whether it's funerals or weddings and illnesses and so forth. And certainly I miss you. We don't take role, but I don't hold that against you. That happens. But I like to see everyone here because, like Titus, I am exhorted, encouraged by you. By your presence and your as I mentioned in an email recently, in your generosity of spirit, how you hold one another up. This is a good church of good cheer. Be of good cheer. It is also a praying church. And God sees that. Your words from your lips and your mind and your heart are a sweet savor to God. And it's not, we don't have to say or be guilty of, although I have been, your words speak of me, but your hearts are far from me. I don't want to be guilty of that. And yet when I'm guilty of that, I still know of a certainty that my eternal home is in heaven, and I can be drawn back to that and away. Get thee behind me, Satan. It's a constant struggle, but we can win each and every battle that's here by the power of a mighty God, almighty God, through His grace. May God bless and keep you is my prayer. We'll sing a song now and open the doors of the church. If anyone has desire to join you, let us know. Then we'll shake one another's hand.
Let's stand and sing number 441.